from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit with the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Be ready for your next afternoon vacation with Beak Breaker Tropical. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
We've got USA, New Zealand women's rugby going on right now in the Olympics. Following that, watching that. Daily Ticker here at the top of the hour, brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Visit pelicanbrewing.com for more details on locations, events, and award-winning beers independently brewed since 96. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. Going through some stuff yesterday. Ducks had their media day. Camp is about to open for them. And the Portland Timbers cannot lose, so I thought of no better person to talk to than our good friend Ryan Clark of OregonLive.com, the Oregonian, on Twitter, at Ryan T. Clark, and he joins us now. Ryan, good morning. Good to have you on with us. I don't know if you've seen this, but evidently the Oregon Duck is at Nebraska's media day. I don't know why. I don't know if there was something said. I don't know if there's a beef here. It's elite trolling and marketing for Oregon yet again. I'm more confused why Nebraska allowed it in, but the Oregon Duck mascot is currently at Nebraska's media day.
Yeah, I think the duck sort of roams where he pleases, whether he's inflatable or not these days. So I assume that is a continuation of these sort of marketing, we could call them stunts, that the Ducks have engaged in these first couple of weeks here.
I don't know about you, man, but like if I was Matt Rhule, I would actually be pissed that he was allowed in. I this is cute and funny and good on Twitter. You're not becoming the thing at my media day. I'm not having to answer questions about the duck.
No, and you don't want to have to answer questions about the duck, and you probably don't want to fight the duck either. From what I understand, the people that have been in that suit over the years have been in tremendous shape, not only from all the push-ups they've done, but just the running around they do. So I don't know if they want to fight them either.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a big beak. Media day yesterday after Big Ten media day, and so it's a good one for everybody locally that can't go to Indianapolis and ask the question to get a one-on-one with Lanning and all the players, not just the three that they had at media day. What was your takeaway from media day? We talked about Kirby Smart and Georgia's offseason woes that have happened, and Dan Lanning certainly having a moment right now, kind of an underrated face of the sport, the way he's talking to people. What was your takeaway from Oregon Media Day yesterday?
Just really, you know, impressed with the, you know, sheer volume of not only, you know, expectations that have swirled around this program, but the level of talent that they're bringing out there. I mean, you talked about the opportunity for local media at this media day to speak to more than just the three players that were at Big Ten Media Days. That was Dylan Gabriel, Jeffrey Bassa, and Terrence Ferguson, who we heard from when they were in Indianapolis. The two deep on this roster is pretty unbelievable, because we ran through about two and a half hours of players, basically in groups of four. And each time they'd bring a new group of guys out, you're like, oh, there's a former five-star. Oh, there's a former four-star highly rated recruit. There's a guy transferring in from this high-level program. And you think about the depth, and you think about each individual position across both sides of the ball, and you're like, you know, where's the weakness? And that's a question Dan Lanning, in a separate interview, not at our media day, was asked, and he couldn't really point to it. And, of course, he's not going to, you know, denigrate anybody on his team as being a weakness. But at the same time, objectively, from the outside, you look at this team and you're like, where's the weakness? Where's the lack of experience? And right now, there's not a whole lot of areas that are terribly glaring, and a lot of impressive people too, just beyond the, you know, the day to day of the football program and their opportunity to potentially win a national championship this year. There's a lot of seemingly like high character and interesting guys with unique stories on this team, and I really look forward to delving into all of it this year.
Ryan Clark is our guest here, OregonLive.com. You can find all of his work there. He does a great job. He's covering the Oregon Ducks and the Big Ten and the Portland Timber. He is a do-it-all guy right now for OregonLive.com on Twitter, at Ryan T. Clark. I'll ask you a couple Timbers questions, but I want to stick with football. What position group is most exciting for that program right now?
Just based on what I was focusing on yesterday in terms of, you know, the stories I was pursuing and the people I was talking to, I didn't realize until I spoke to these guys quite how many talented and experienced receivers that they have for Dylan Gabriel to throw to. Each of these guys with their own journey to Eugene, but all of them doing something unique. You think about Evan Stewart, a big shot, big play guy that can go up and grab it. Tez Johnson, somebody with a ton of speed who could be an elite slot receiver that could even lead the country in receiving yards. Trayshawn Holden, been in a program at Alabama with a ton of experience there at a high level. Gary Bryant Jr. and Kyler Casper, and all these dudes that, like, you couldn't have picked a better situation, and this is something I've said before, but you couldn't have picked a better situation to plug Dylan Gabriel into in terms of the weapons that this guy has. Obviously, replacing guys along the offensive line is part of the question, but in reality, the depth that they've been able to develop there and the guys they've been able to bring in and the experience at the tackle spots in particular – leads me to believe that Dylan will be pretty safe back there and have some time to throw to these guys. But that wide receiver group, man, that's impressive. And on the other side of the ball, they've got some dogs on that defensive line. And that's a phrase that all of those fine 270-plus pound gentlemen like to use to describe themselves. And it rings true. I mean, these are big dudes. These are Big Ten dudes. And for anybody that might be watching this team and watching this program from the outside and think, oh, maybe they might not match the physicality of the Big Ten, they're this West Coast, Pac-12, yada, yada school. You meet these guys, you look at them, you hear them talk, you see what schools they might have transferred in from. They seem to be ready to meet that moment.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You mentioned the receiver group defensively, too. Like, we know Lanning. I mean, his pedigree is defense, right? That's what his reputation is. He understands what it takes, I think, to get to those guys to a championship level, given what he did at Georgia. Offensively, it's crazy to say because Bo Nix was so special for them. Dylan Gabriel, very good quarterback. Not really sure the stats necessarily need to be matching Bo in many ways, given this might be the most talented offense, a more talented offense than they had last year. And that's not something I was sure I would say at this point, considering what Bo Nix was for them, Bucky Irving. You go through the lineup, what they lose versus what's coming back or what's filling in, and it's not something I thought I would say, but like that offense probably better on paper, at least going into the season.
I think definitely. I mean, Dylan is a Heisman favorite for a reason.
Yeah.
He's a guy that has that capability with his legs that – you know, Bo had, but not nearly to the level that Dylan does. And as you said, the weapons that Dylan is going to have to work with this season are better than last year, just in terms of sheer volume. There's guys that are going to be, you know, fighting and scrapping for snaps that would be, you know, stars or starters at other major programs across the country. This is how you build these sort of national championship programs, is let the cream rise to the top. And Lanning gets that. And yeah, maybe you lose a few of these guys to the portal along the way, but at the end of the day, if you're this deep and you're built out in this way on both sides of the ball, not just with, you know, offensive playmakers, you're able to play 16, 17 games in this new, you know, expanded playoff era and have that, you know, long-term foundational success.
Portland Timbers seem to be on fire right now. They're having a nice little run for themselves. I looked at the table setting. They're eighth right now in the West, but they've been playing substantially better football. For those of us out there, how would you explain what has happened with them? I tend to say this every year, and I'm not Mr. Soccer Sprague here, so you can correct me if I'm wrong. I seemingly feel like every year the Timbers start out slow, the fans get pissed, it's very loud, they then slowly turn it around, and then they make a push, and either they get to a good spot in the playoff or they creep into the playoff, and we feel better about them. What has changed for the Portland Timbers?
Yeah, I think that while it may be following a similar trajectory to previous seasons for the Timbers with a slow start and then having to get back on the horse a bit, they're really rolling now, and they look like a team that, you know, despite some of the ups and downs of these last few weeks, are on an upward trajectory to be a potential MLS Cup contender. And the reason for that is the attacking players that they've been able to, you know, put together and meld in the way that they have. Obviously, bringing Evander in 2 years ago as a designated player, these were the expectations that they had for him, and he's now exceeding that. He looks, in these, you know, 5-6 games that the Timbers have won the majority of and scored a ton of goals in, he looks like the most talented individual player that this team has had in its MLS history. That's obviously not to discount the greatness of guys like Diego Valeri, Diego Chara, Sebastian Blanco, who've all left a huge legacy with the team. But this is a guy who, if he continues to play at this level, they're going to sell him to a European club for a pretty big chunk of change. And he's the engine that feeds guys like Jonathan Rodriguez and Felipe Mora up top. Both of those dudes have had tremendous seasons and scored a ton of goals. And in addition to obviously the production that those guys have brought, they've shored up some of the defensive issues that they've had. Now it's not been perfect. There's been a couple of 3-goal spots that they've given up in this last few games. But in general, it's just a buy-in for Phil Neville, who there were questions obviously at the start of his tenure, questions even prior to his hiring from the Timbers Army, which is always vocal about various issues. But he's, I think, proven his mettle as a coach that is willing to not only get buy-in from his players, but make the sort of tweaks and button pushes and knob twists that are necessary throughout MLS seasons and even within 90-minute games to get victories. Yeah. And it's not just been a matter of, oh, they've just overpowered teams and scored way more goals than others. They have won games on the merits of their game management, which is something that could not always be said the last couple of years.
Do you think they can make a run? Can they go deep into the postseason?
I do. I think that you know, if things go right, if they stay healthy, if they don't revert to some old habits of being really open at the back and getting in these shootouts where they have to win 3-2 or 4-3 or whatever in a postseason matchup with a tough squad, I think that the possibility of them making a run in an MLS Western Conference that has a great deal of parity is certainly possible. Would I bet on them to be in the MLS Cup final against Messi in Miami a few months from now? Not at this point, but I do think that they are trending in a direction of a team that absolutely can be in the mix, just given the talent that they have up top alone.
There we go. Good stuff. Ryan Clark, our good friend, OregonLive.com. We'll be talking to him a lot this football season, a football and football segment here with him as the Timbers are playing great soccer right now. And Duck Media Day yesterday as fall camp is about to open up and coming in with a lot of expectations. So, Ryan, we appreciate the time, man. We look forward to talking to you a lot this football season as there's a lot of expectation down in Eugene. Thanks for hopping on with us this morning. We always appreciate the time.
Of course. Thanks, guys.
All right, there we go. Good stuff from Ryan Clark on Twitter, at Ryan T. Clark. Find his good work at OregonLive.com. We'll get to the mail sack coming up, so get those mail sack questions into the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. We have some unexpected news that popped out, and is Jeremy Grant going to fetch us two first-round picks? We'll talk about the rumor mill NBA stuff involving our Blazers. All of that is ahead next on The Fan. Well, New Zealand's...
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Kicking our ass in rugby. I don't know if I'm surprised by that. I'm disappointed, sure. It's 19-5 semifinals going on in women's rugby. Got it on the Olympics. It's great. We will get to, is Jeremy Grant going to get the Blazers two first-round picks? A lot of rumor mill stuff in the NBA involving our Portland Trail Blazers. Two local people giving two different thoughts. One of which was aggregated, and the other is currently being aggregated. So we'll talk about that coming up. But it is a Mail Sack Tuesday. We do the Mail Sack every Tuesday around 8:15. If we just had some good stuff from Ryan Clark on the Timbers and a lot of Oregon Duck stuff. By the way, follow up, the Duck in Nebraska crashed the media day that the Nebraska Cornhuskers were having. Evidently didn't have a credential. And so, like, got in and then was asked to leave. I don't know why, other than, like, to get this, to get us and everybody else and their mom to talk about this. Lanning said this on, what show was it? Might have been the Big Ten Network. I was watching his interview with Big Ten Network because I couldn't hear that, obviously doing the show during media day. And he said, like, we want to do anything to piss people off. Like, basically, like, we want to take the duck everywhere, knowing it bothers people. So Oregon is at a point now where they'll just take it all. They'll be the villain. They'll be the good guy. They'll be funny. They'll be corny. They'll be whatever you want as long as you bring them up. And the duck crashing Nebraska Media Day, it doesn't make any sense. And yet it's going to be the talk of Media Day now in Nebraska.
Yeah. And I think I get the sense Dan Lanning, he loves everything around college football.
He's very college football.
He appreciates all the tradition, the pageantry of it, but it doesn't affect, it doesn't,
he's so focused. Care. Yes.
He lets it go. He'll smile. He'll have fun with it, but he doesn't spend any time thinking about it. He's like, nope, I got practice. I got this. I got this. So he's able to find that balance where he appreciates it and go nuts. Please let me know what you're doing. I'll put my hand up if I think something crosses a line. But other than that, have at it. Let's go.
He definitely is one of those dudes. He wants to be talked about and have the program talked about. But it's going to...
It doesn't keep him from focusing on what he needs to focus
on.
Is
it going to pop up at other media days, though?
We'll see.
Man, can you imagine if they would have done this at Washington?
I mean, Ducks just sailgating out there in Lake Washington.
I mean, if you want that thing popped with like a spear at some point, like you bring it up to to Mont Lake, you could certainly have that happen. Talked about this before, Big Ten Media Day. There are no natural rivalries other than like Oregon, Washington, and the LA schools for us in the Northwest. I think these are the stunts that begin to build the animosity and hatred of one school over another, not to mention what happens when they eventually play. Let's get to the mail sack. I want to get to the Blazers stuff coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Mail sack question. You get VIP access. Do you pick winter or summer Olympics? That's a good question.
Ooh.
We may differ here.
VIP access. As a media member or just as somebody going out? Like I'm on the red carpet, like I'm Snoop Dogg, just going wherever the hell I want?
However you interpret the term VIP, so you could be...
I'm going to interpret that as what NBC's doing with Snoop Dogg.
Okay.
I think I'm going to the Summer Olympics just simply because there's so much more going on.
Summer Olympics?
That and look, I embrace the cold. I'm not afraid of the cold, but... At the Winter Olympics, there's really only a couple of things I want to see.
Sure.
Like the Summer Olympics, there's like a whole bunch of different stuff. Like if I'm there, it's like, cool.
The vibe seems a little, it seems a little better, the vibe in the Summer Olympics versus the Winter.
And usually the problem with the Winter Olympics is you're down in a city where the arenas are for hockey and curling and ice skating and that sort of stuff. And then the rest of this is you got to go up into the mountains somewhere. Yeah. And not that stuff isn't spread out all over France because they're playing soccer and basketball in stadiums all over
Surfing's
the country. But
in Tahiti, for God's sake.
Well, yeah, but not really big waves off the Mediterranean coast.
You don't
there.
Say. Colin Jost got a good gig.
He got a good gig. I don't know who he greased at NBC, but that's a good gig. I think it would be the Summer Games. I think there's just more going on.
All right. I thought you were going to go winter. I'm also summer.
Winter, I care about. I only want to see the ice hockey, curling, and...
I'm getting older. I'm getting colder. I always want to be warm. I want to go to these beautiful places. France looks so awesome right now.
Plus, I don't know how much you really see. Like, if you go up to wherever the skiing venue is, you're at the base of the hill.
But seeing, like, the long jump ski people.
The ski jump might be cool.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
To see a human being willing to do that just
in hopes. Maybe going to the half pipe would be cool.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not saying they wouldn't be cool.
I just think summer would be cooler. I think there's more going on. I think there's more partying going on late night after stuff's over.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I tend to be there. Okay. Let's get to this. Last night on Primetime, they discussed events that could be included in the Dad Olympics. They included grilling the perfect steak, carrying sleeping baby up and down the stairs, perfectly edging your lawn, and negotiating down the price of a car. What other events would you think to include? I would actually, I don't think negotiating down the price of a car is a very good thing, actually. I think most people are bad at it. So yeah. I don't know if you'd find any. Edging your lawn is a good one. Yard work could be included. I would, what would I add? I would add clean up before in-laws visit. We almost always wait till last second. You should see me in in-law cleanup mode. It is remarkable. You would walk in
the
house.
Where is the closet you shove all the stuff that
It's doesn't... called my bedroom.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called the bedroom, and it's called closing the door. But you should see, like, kitchen, dishes.
Yeah.
Nobody puts away the dishwasher and loads the dishwasher faster than me, knowing my in-laws are about 20 minutes away. You walk into my house when they come over, you think we're the most responsibly clean people in the world, and that couldn't be further from the truth. I would add that to it. Trying to think of another good one.
You need to... We need something with the remote control, like master, like being able to like
flip back and forth,
oh, watch two games simultaneously and avoid commercials, or coming back, like flipping back right when the commercial ends.
Yes. Having good timing.
Yes.
I always was really good at that. Even at a young age, I was just like hit last and boom, there's the sport. It's coming right back. That's a pretty good one. Let's see another one.
I don't know. I
think grocery shopping in general with men tends to go much quicker, whereas like I take my wife and she will just be going up and down every aisle, just kind of browsing and looking. And
no, like, I know what I'm looking for. My problem is I sometimes can't find what I'm looking for because I want very specific things.
Well, if grocery stores redo things, that's certainly a thing. But if you know where stuff is, in and out. Yeah. I know what 9 items I need. I'm in and out. There's no debate about it. So yeah, I'd add maybe those to the Dad Olympics. Another mail sack question: would you rather have a leaked text, tasteful nudes, or every text and IM you've ever sent with no context? So rather have the leaked conversation or a tasteful nude? Maybe the wiener dog is showing.
Of all of those things, we'll do the tasteful nude because I think you can laugh that off the easiest. Depending on whatever the leaked conversation or your texts are, you're not living that down ever.
You never, like, this is tasteful nudes every day of the week. You want to see my medium to small ween?
Whatever.
I literally could not be bothered what you say about it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm okay being seen naked. Some of those conversations.
I'm not. I'm pretty modest, and so I... Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A little bit of a prude, huh?
It's not for public consumption, nor should it be.
I don't have much of a relationship with my neighbors. I have had multiple times I have forgotten that my wife leaves the blinds open every time in our bedroom, and I'm a walk-around air-dry guy out of the shower. I'm pretty confident my neighbors have seen.
Oh, no.
They've seen it all multiple times.
Like, I immediately out of the shower, the towel is on while I'm still in the bathroom with the door closed.
Yeah, I'll get a little dry just to get out because I don't want to be soaking wet. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, get to a point where I'm dry enough and I let the rest of me air dry. I'm a pretty big walk around.
You're Rod Tidwell,
naked. A little bit, yeah. There's a little bit of that going on. Jerry, show me the money. I'm going to show you my ween. So it's tasteful nudes all day of the week. Mail sack, is it truly out of the realm of possibility? Oregon State starts the season 1-4. If so, how many fans showing up to Reser for the November-October games of UNLV and San Jose State? Oh, first of all, it's a depressing question.
That's a depressing question. Is it out of the realm of possibilities? No. But.
Give me a second here. I want to bring it up. Boy, the ESPN team thing is weird now that it's a Pac-2.
So you have Idaho State.
Okay, so you start with Idaho State,
then
you're at San Diego State, then Oregon comes to town,
right.
And then Purdue, and they said, what, 1-4?
1-4.
Then you're home against Colorado State, who I don't know where they are.
I don't know where they are either.
You should beat Idaho State.
You better beat Idaho State.
If you don't
beat
Idaho State, you might be 0-5, and it might get worse than that.
I would think, where's the Colorado State game? Is that in Corvallis?
Colorado State is a home, so after
that
San Diego State week two, they've got 3 straight homes.
The other 3 games?
Purdue and Oregon, I think you lose. Just being in the trust tree, I'll be rooting for my Beavs. Yeah. Purdue, I tend to think maybe the talent is a little more in Purdue's favor, but it's a home game, so we'll say we don't know yet. That's being maybe optimistic.
Yeah, Purdue's just got the advantage of continuity. Same coaching staff, you got the same quarterback, all of those sorts of
things. So let's answer the question. Is it conceivable you're 1-4?
It's not out of the realm of possibilities, but I
tend to think they'll be better than that.
I think you're in the 3-2-2-3 range is where I think you are. After
agree with you. What's the attendance for San Jose State and UNLV? Probably not amazing, Bob. I'm also curious to see the ticket prices and how those go this year.
That's going to be interesting to see what they do.
Because they need the money.
They got to pay for that thing.
But also, is it better to have butts in the seats?
I think you need butts in the seats.
I do too. I think it's better to have butts in seats than say, we're charging $180 a ticket for this
They
game.
Need to drill down on what they think is a reasonable, truly season ticket, people making donations, yes. That sort of thing. Okay, how many do we need to do? Go out of your way to roll out the red carpet for them, you know, that are, and then whatever seats are left over,
yeah.
Figure out what it will take to price them in the marketplace to put as many butts in that seat.
We are already against it. Last one, all expenses paid trip to the Paris Olympics. What two events would you have to go see? This is a tough one.
Single event or
like if I say basketball, does that include the men and the women, or do I specifically say men's basketball versus
women's?
Yeah,
am I going to, like, if I say track and field, am I going for the whole run of track and field, or are you talking about like I want to be there for the 100-meter dash? Or
I'm going to say track and field has to be in there for me.
For me, if I could go to the whole run of track and field, it's a show. It's great.
It's called the track and field events, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that's a whole thing. Be hard not to pick surfing because it'd be in Tahiti. But if it, in Paris specifically, track and field, I'm sorry. I got to go men's basketball. I'm too much of a hoops fan. I want to see him. And I think the international game has grown. A lot more talent on those teams. You watch it, Canada is just loaded, right? Jamal Murray,
yep.
SGA, Dylan Brooks, like all of these teams have NBA guys on them now. Yeah. So it makes the games a little more exciting. And I've always loved Team USA. Some interesting thoughts coming in of some dad Olympic stuff. Will the Blazers get two firsts for Jeremy Grant? Will these two guys be on the roster? Get to that next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Watching a little 3-on-3 now in the Olympics in basketball. USA women against Germany. I actually haven't seen the 3-on-3s at all, so this is my first exposure to it. I'm all about 3-on-3 basketball.
Yeah, it is quick.
It's good for half court. Anything over threes, like a lot of people my age or your age, like you get fours and they're like, oh, we won't half court. I got a hot take for you. Fours is too many for half court. It's three is a max.
If you're playing fours, you got to run.
Run full. And if
you
got to
go find a high school court, that's fine. If you don't want to run on the NBA airstrip.
You can't do half court 4-on-4. It's ridiculous. What are we doing?
Way too tight.
Bad spacing. Good stuff for the mail sack today. Just a couple leftovers from the Dad Olympics. How about detecting when someone touches the thermostat?
Okay.
That's a very good one. Some people are really good at that. I've noticed that before. Like, why is it so damn hot? Who moved the thermostat? Oh, I did. What? How come you didn't say anything? What are we doing here? Another one, knowledge test on feminine hygiene products. That'd be a good one. One aisle. Where?
Oh.
Pads. What are we doing? Do you know? I think that'd be a good one. And the grand prize, somebody says the grand prize for the Dad Olympics should be a $50 gift card to Home Depot. Not enough, actually. Need more than that.
I don't know.
You want to get anything of substance? The Trailblazers have been in the news the last couple days. Off on Monday, but I saw that one, Danny Meringue, throwing out Rob Pelinka once was willing to do two firsts aggregate stuff. From his thoughts on Jeremy Grant, the Lakers, Zach Lowe referencing a Jeremy Grant Laker jersey on his podcast. And Aaron Fentress goes in Sacramento and says, neither Ant nor Jeremy will be on this roster looking to trade both of them. Now, he didn't guarantee anything, but he basically was just like, you know, saying what we've kind of said, and fairly obvious, Ant wants to win, and Jeremy's the guy that you move. That doesn't make a lot of sense for them with what they are. So do we think both Anfernee Simons and Jeremy Grant, let's start there, will be on the roster for opening night?
I don't think they both will. I think one of them will get moved prior to training camp. I don't know if they can move them both.
Okay. Does Jeremy get us two first? Because I'm assuming you think it's Jeremy that gets traded before Ant.
I think there will be a bigger desire for Jeremy. He's more plug and play. I think somebody looking for Ant Simons needs to have a plan for Ant Simons.
I tend to agree with that because he's going to need the contract extension, whereas Jeremy has a couple more years.
Yeah.
I talked about this. I did a couple podcasts with the homie Mike Richmond for Locked On Blazers as a guest, and we talked about this, and I don't know why it makes any sense for the Lakers to trade two first for Jeremy Grant. I don't think he makes him that much better than what Rui is. I don't think it changes their circumstance in the West. Yeah. I'd argue he's actually not even a number three on a team. I'd argue he's like a number four on a good team. And so it's like, so the Lakers are going to win the West with LeBron, AD, Austin Reeves, and then Jeremy Grant. He also doesn't rebound. I think Jeremy Grant's a good player. I don't think he's amazing. Yeah. And so it's like, if the Lakers are to do that, it's one, speaks to the desperation. It reeks of Rob Pelinka doing nothing and being desperate. But it just doesn't make sense to trade two first for Jeremy.
No, I would be, you know, if you're going to get two first for Jeremy, then I'm going to guess one of them's going to be in the mid to late 20s, not going to be a lottery pick, depending on where he goes.
Well, also the Lakers, like if you get a 29 pick from the Lakers, if that's on the table right now, seems like good value to me.
Well, you should get one decent first round pick, whether it's next year, whether it's in the future. I don't think you're going to get two that are likely to be in the lottery. I think that's a lot.
I just think it's kind of stupid management to trade two first for Jeremy Grant. I like Jeremy Grant.
Yeah.
I also haven't been very impressed with the tenure. Think we like him because of his cool clothes and the fact that he loves to be here. That's really awesome. But two firsts? Yeah, I don't know, man.
It'd be great.
I hope that Joe can get that.
Joe can pull that off.
I don't know why Pelinka would do that. I think he better serve to hold
those. It's going to be hard to see, to evaluate, you know, where he feels the market is being maximized.
Well, it feels like it's the Lakers and kind of nobody else. Like who else?
That's the problem if they're bidding against themselves. Now, if somebody, you know, somebody goes down in the Olympic tournament that's key, you know, on a contending NBA team,
sure,
that changes things.
Yeah.
But not that we're wishing that on anybody.
I'd like them to move these guys.
So Ant's the bigger one that I would want to move because then there's no choice but for Chauncey to play. Scoot and Shaden in the backcourt. That's who he's playing.
Yeah. I talked about this with Mike. I think it's a pivotal year for Scoot. I don't normally like to say that about second year guys. This draft's so loaded, like there might be a guy at his position that is remarkable. And if the lottery odds don't favor you for Cooper Flagg, if you don't ace the tank, you know, if there's a guy there that's bigger, what are you going to do? Well, I'd hope you draft him, but I think it's a pivotal year for Scoot. Me and Mike talked about this. If you want to check out that pod, sometimes it's good to be firm. All the reports say that Joe has a price and he sticks to his price and that's the way he operates and that's fine. Others, it's like, can you move guys and say, this is good, but we also are trying to move into the next wave instead of holding on to veteran guys in a year where you clearly want to tank. Your over-under is 22.5.
Yeah.
They clearly are going to be bad.
Yes.
But playing with Jeremy and Ant, it kind of creates log jams. You need to see what you have with a lot of these young guys, like the Ryan Rupert. I don't feel great about him. You know, there's pieces here that aren't going to be here very long that you need to figure things out. So we'll see. We'll see what Joe Cronin does. We know he's not going to just force the trade. He'll be patient, and we'll see if both Ant and Jeremy are on this roster. But I think a lot of that has to depend on what they can get from the Lakers. and if a team can emerge for Ant Services. We wrap it up with a couple thoughts in the football realm. A little Olympic sneak peek. That's next. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan. All right, we've got right now in the Olympics Yuki Togayashi, who's 5'4". Japan hanging around with France. It's early. I still think France is going to win this game by 20. And then you've got Wimby on the court, who is listed at 7'3", but many think is 7'4". So you have quite literally a 2-foot difference between two players playing against each other in men's basketball right now. It's 47-42.
Did Muggsy ever play against...
like Murasan or Bradley, probably.
I think
yeah.
Bradley was. Bradley I was trying to remember. What can I think of the Chinese center's name?
Yao Ming.
There we go.
I don't think.
No, they were too different.
But that
probably Bradley was there.
Bradley, yeah. Murasan had to have
had
been.
To have been, yeah.
And Manute maybe
Bol. Yeah, is there a Manute Bol Muggsy Bogues picture somewhere?
Let me see if I can find one. That would be fantastic. Muggsy Bogues.
Muggsy, like, biting his kneecap.
Oh, they were teammates.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. They were in the bullets together. 7'6 and 5'3. There is a great photo of them standing next to each other for a team photo. And Muggsy's literally covering where Manute's junk
waist,
would be with
waist
the ball.
Level.
Yeah, he's literally at his waist. That's unbelievable. There's also a photo of Muggsy in a suit standing next to Yao Ming in a suit.
Oh, man.
That's everything you need to see. So Olympics are going on. Simone Biles has a chance. I mean, she's already the GOAT, but has a chance to continue the GOAT legacy today.
Yes.
Jordan Chiles, Southwest Washington. Jade Carey is sick, but she'll participate in the vault competition.
Yeah. Tonight is the women's
stuff.
Team competition. Yeah. So, but she will go on the vault for Team USA.
But she's in the team vault one, too.
Yes.
Yeah. So we've got that. I don't know for certain when Dirt's back.
I know he's back Thursday. I don't know if he's back tomorrow or not.
I'll find out just like everybody else.
Okay.
So hopefully we
I don't
back
even know where he went.
Pretty sure he went to Central Oregon.
Okay.
If he's gone for more than a day, it's usually Central Oregon. So that is going to do it for us. Thank you to everybody that shot in some mail sack questions today, hung out with us. We had two stops. Anthony Dasher covers Georgia. We got the latest of Georgia, what's going on with Kirby Smart's program. We talked the Oregon Duck invading Nebraska Media Day. Talked Oregon Duck football, Ryan Clark, and Timbers soccer. It's a fun show. Good to have you back on the saddle.
I'm so glad to be back.
Minus the Justin Thomas, Justin Turner, and a report. You did great.
We'll kick it into high gear here.
We're going to have a lot more to get into tomorrow. Was Ndamukong Suh the best player in college football in the last 20 years? We'll get into that coming up. Number one. Talk about that. We'll have more football dealings, including NFL. This has been Dirt and Sprague. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow, bright and early, 6 to 9 a.m. on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.